Hi there, I'm Richard. I'm the senior pastor of Every Nation Auckland City. We are a multicultural, multi-generational, socially responsible church that makes disciples. We hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
Well, good morning, everybody. Oh, there's lots of people here. It's good to see you all. Thank you all so much for coming today. Wasn't that a beautiful time of worship?
Yeah.
Hands up if you were blessed by that. But it's good to have quiet worship sometimes. It just postures our heart. We can receive from God. So thank you, Willie. Thank you, team. Beautiful. Really lovely. So it's my honor to be before you this morning, and it is an honor. You know, I treat it with real seriousness that I would be trusted up here, that God would trust me, and leadership would trust me. So I don't take it lightly. And this morning, I hope that you will be blessed by the word of God as a minister this morning. So before we do, let's just pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this gathering of people here in your name. Lord, we love you. Lord, we open the ears of our heart this morning to hear what your Holy Spirit has to say to each one of us. And we thank you for blessing us with your presence. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
Amen.
All right. Well, you know, a lot of us are facing tough times, right? The Bible is a book that acknowledges tough times and provides instruction and comfort and encouragement during these tough times. So I want to bring, first of all, I want to lay the foundation of my message with an encouragement from Psalm 46. Yes, I'm preaching on weathering storms. I just realized I didn't say the title, sorry. All right, let's read, just follow on the screen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. I love that line. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. The holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Bless the word of the Lord. So weathering storms, that can mean all sorts of things. Thunderstorms, tornadoes, hurricanes, or cyclones as we call them in the South Pacific. They're a common event here on Earth. And they are created when an unstable change in pressure resulting in a powerful disturbance of the atmosphere. I'm going to read that again. When there is an unstable change in pressure, resulting in a powerful disturbance of the atmosphere. And we remember last year, if you weren't living here or weren't in the North Island, you might have missed it, but we were visited by Cyclone Gabriel. And, you know, in Auckland and most of the North Island, we suffered flooding. We were expecting a lovely summertime, right? Here it's coming, yay. But in Gabriel came, flooding all over the North Island and leaving many people without their homes or with very damaged homes. And 11 people died. Have you ever been in a situation where you think things are going a certain way, just as you expected them to be, right? Then everything changes. For example, you're just driving along, something happens, everything changes. Maybe you're having a conversation, and all of a sudden something is said and everything changes. Mm-hmm. Or you're at an event. Maybe you're just doing your job. Maybe you're in a relationship. Or you're excited about something. You thought you knew how it was going to turn out, but then something happens causing an unstable change in pressure, resulting in a powerful disturbance of the atmosphere. And your first reaction may be something like, "Surely not. Did I hear that correctly? What is going on? That can't be right. How could this be happening?" You may feel shocked, confused, overwhelmed, and you may even start to panic. You may find yourself saying, "You've got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding me." Anybody been in that situation? I have. So nature is often paralleled in our journey of life. If you think about it, in nature there's birth and death. In our lives there's birth and death. There are seasons in nature, right? We all know that we go through seasons in our own life. So the nature is paralleled in our journey. You could be in a winter season right now, which really means that it's pretty tough. Or you may be coming out of that into a spring or a summer season in your life where things are pretty exciting and everything's going well. You may be in one of life's storms right now. And if you're not, you most certainly will go through at least one. I went through this exercise of listing all the storms that I've been through, and there's quite a lot of them. Oh, yeah, that's right. That, and that, and that. And I'm sure even then I left some out. And I labelled them storms I have known and loved. Of course, I didn't love going through the storms, right? But you really appreciate coming out the end of a storm, right? And it makes you appreciative of what you've got. And I learned a lot through those storms. But how about you? You may be in a medical storm where the diagnosis has been given. It's not looking good. What about a financial storm? Loss of income or a budget that won't balance? A housing crisis? An accommodation storm? What about a relational storm? It could be your marriage. It could be your parenting. It could be in your friendship with somebody. Or maybe you're in a faith storm. So we know that storms occurred regularly in the Bible. And if you didn't realize, and I'm sure that I'm preaching to the converted here, but the Bible is our go-to, right? Amen. This is where I go to on knowing how to navigate through life. So we're going to take a look at some storms in the Bible that were encountered not just on a natural level in the weather, but also on a very personal level where physical bodies were tested, emotional lives, everything was tested to the very core of their souls. And it's my hope that this day, this message, will help you to become what I would lovingly like to call a storm spotter. I don't mean that you run into the tornadoes and, you know, do those crazy things those people do when they go chasing storms. That's right, storm chaser. We don't want to chase them. But we want to spot them. We want to be alert and aware of what's happening. what kind of storm you may be going through. So today we're going to look at three categories of storms that we may encounter in our personal lives. The first one are correcting storms. The second ones are protecting storms. And the third ones are perfecting storms. Correcting, protecting, perfecting storms. And we're going to examine three Bible characters and the storms that they faced. And we will observe that sometimes God caused the storm, other times he allowed the storm. And within these storms, we'll highlight three things that happen. We're going to highlight the instruction given. We're going to look at the choice that the person made. And we will look at the consequences of the choices that they made. All right, that's a lot of threes, okay? Three kinds of storms, three Bible characters, and three things that happened. So the first character we know quite a lot about from our recent series, I Am Jonah. Who was here for I Am Jonah series? Show your hands. Yep. Most people, I think. Without going through all the details, because we've already had that series, we can summarize the story this way. God said, go. Jonah said, no. God said, oh. Now, I pinched that from somebody. I didn't come up with that. I thought it was really good. It's a good way to remember the story of Jonah. God said, no. Jonah said, God said, go. Jonah said, no. God said, oh, I'm going to have to do something. Jonah found himself in a correcting storm. Everybody say, correcting storm. And let's look at what happened through the points, the 3 points. What was the instruction to Jonah? God said, go to Nineveh. The choice that Jonah made was he disobeyed. And the consequence was God caused a violent storm that threatened Jonah's life. Jonah was in a correcting storm, not fun, but it was his fault. He brought it upon himself. But Jonah cried out to God. I love that the story has a good ending. God gave him a second chance. Maybe you've messed up. And you're saying, well, there's no hope for me. God can give second chances. You can't get away from God, and you shouldn't want to. There's no place you can go where God is not. And if God rescued Jonah from the belly of a fish, then God can get you out of any situation that you're facing right now.
Yes.
God is always with us, and that should be reassuring to you. Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So let's try not to run away from God. Let's run to God. And if you need another chance, maybe you've run from God many times. He's right here waiting to give you your second chance, your third chance, maybe your 50th or your 100th chance, because he loves you. So that's a correcting storm. Maybe you're in one of those. Our second character is found in the book of Genesis. And I'll give you a quick overview. Sometime after God had created the world and Adam and Eve had disobeyed God, things started to get really bad. And there was all sorts of wickedness. And the Bible says in Genesis 6, verse 5, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made men on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things, and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I made them. Wow. But there was one man who found favor with the Lord, right? You know who he was. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. He did things right in God's eyes. And one day God spoke to Noah. He said, I'm going to put an end to all that I've created, but I'll save you and your family and a whole bunch of animals, two of every kind, in fact. Go. Build an ark of gopher wood. I'm sending a flood and I'm going to wipe out every living thing. Now, the Bible doesn't record Jonah's verbal response. Noah's response. It just said that Noah did everything God told him to do. But realistically, a bit of artist's license, author's license, I don't know, sorry, Lord. I'm thinking Noah must have had a bit of, you must be kidding, going on in his heart. Maybe he didn't. The Bible doesn't speak to it. But he was a human being. And God had given him a huge task, a huge faith task.
Yes.
Anybody watched Evan Almighty?
No.
I thought of this movie and I thought, wow, I think I'd be more of the Evan and his responses. It's a very funny movie, but of course not biblical. God sent the floods. He did what he said he was going to do. He sent a protecting storm. He wanted to wipe out all the evil, but he also wanted to protect the remnant,
yes,
the remaining good that he'd created. I love that word, remnant. He could have destroyed everything, but there was one righteous man. It's all God needed. So the instruction to Noah was build an ark. The choice Noah made, Noah obeyed. And the consequence was that God gave us a second chance. We wouldn't be here. I'm sure while Noah and his family were being tossed on the high seas that rose up, they must have wondered if they were going to make it. They must have had times when they thought, where are you, God? How about you? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought, where is God in all this? Okay. If God is a God of love, why doesn't he stop this? Some would use this as an argument not to believe that there is a God. Why is there so much pain in the world? But to this we must say, so have you been trusting God? So have you been following him? Is he your Lord? We're so quick to blame God for things. We haven't given him the time of any time of the day. God's not a genie in a bottle that we can just rub when we want something. He loves you and wants to protect you from making mistakes that will hurt you. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. There's the condition. Now, I went through three relationships before Richard and I met. And all of them would have been disastrous and not fulfilled God's purpose for my life. I didn't know that at the time. It was really difficult emotionally. But God sent these protecting storms to protect me from marrying the wrong guy. And I'm so grateful that he did. protecting storms. Well, let's move on to our last character we'll look at today. And he had his faith tested to the absolute limit. He was a follower of Jesus. He was one of the 12. But from these 12, we read that Jesus kept 3 men very close to him. And one of these was Peter. Peter was bold and he was aggressive and outspoken. And John MacArthur refers to him as the apostle with the foot-shaped mouth. Love that. Foot-shaped mouth. He was the one who was often brash and reactive. And he'd be all in, but then often be the first to bail when pressure was on. Enthusiasm, great. Jesus used 2 names for Peter. His original name, Simon, and this was a name that Jesus often used when he was correcting him. When Jesus was calling him Peter, it was a sort of a nickname from the Greek word petros, meaning a piece of rock. So if Jesus was calling him Simon, he was signaling that he's behaving like his old self. If he was calling him rock, he was signaling this is the way you ought to be behaving. And he needed to come like rock. So that's what Jesus called him. With all Peter's brashness, he had all the raw material from which a leader could be made. And one time when the disciples were arguing, about who's the greatest, Jesus told them that the greatest must become like the youngest, the leader like the servant. And straight after that, he looks at Peter and he says, Simon, Simon. Remember, he called him Simon when he was saying, this is how he used to be. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. But he, Peter, said to him, Lord, you know I'm ready to go to prison and even to death. And Jesus said, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied 3 times that you know me. Peter was about to face a 3rd kind of storm. It was at the time when Jesus was near his time of arrest. He'd been praying and exhorting his disciples to do the same. But a large crowd came to arrest him. Judas had betrayed him to the high priests, and he was led away to trial. And we pick the story up here now. Having arrested him, it's Jesus, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance. After they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. And a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, said, this man was with him too. But Peter denied it, saying, woman, I don't know him. A little later, another saw him and said, you are one of them too. But Peter said, man, I am not. After about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, certainly this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you're talking about. Immediately while he was speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, "Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Peter was in a perfecting storm. But if Peter by nature was quick to sin, he was quick to repent also. And this he did. And we read in John 21, when while they were fishing, Jesus appeared to them on the beach, and he spoke to Peter about love and gave him clear instructions about leading the church. And Peter went on to be the rock. And he preached his heart out to the unbelievers on the day of Pentecost. You can read it in Acts chapter 2. And not to mention the letters that he wrote to the early church, which we now have the benefit of reading, right? What a great comeback story.
Yes,
very good. So our 3 points, let's look at Peter. The instruction to Peter was to follow me, right? That's all Jesus said in the beginning, follow me. The choice Peter made in the end was to repent. He repented of denying Christ. Yes. And the consequence was he became the leader of the early church. Correcting storms, protecting storms,
yes.
Perfecting storms. A few years back, I went through a perfecting storm. And one of our adult children decided not to follow Jesus anymore. I was entering the biggest storm of my life. He tested me on every level. I assailed God with questions, and I threw it back on him. This can't be happening. What have we done wrong? God, you promised. But as I wrestled with what was happening, I knew I had to go back to the absolutes. The absolutes of God. The immovable things that I knew about God that were never going to change no matter what storm I go through. That's where I made myself go. Was it easy? No. And I wrote them down on a piece of paper. Still got things with the blue tape. It's not pretty. But every time I had an absolute, I wrote it down on a piece of paper. And it was on my kitchen wall. And I would say this every time I looked at it, especially when I wasn't doing so well. And it's called What I Know. Sometimes you just got to go back to what you know. And this is what God showed me. You have a plan. You are in control. Nothing is impossible for you. It's one day closer. Your love will make a way. You make all things new. It's God's will that none should perish. It's your will, God. I would throw it back at him. He hears me. You will answer my request. This is all from the Bible. That was my confidence. Not in me, not in anybody else. Only in God. And I vacillated between faith and fear and fighting the enemy. But through it all, God was with me. I could identify the storm. It was a faith storm. What am I going to believe? So I secured my foundation. Not knowing when the storm would end and when his plan would be fully revealed. But a year later, almost to the date, my son came back to Jesus and is still on his faith journey today, following Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus said we will face storms in our lives. Jesus didn't promise us a storm-free life. We all know this. But a storm-proof life. And the way we know this is from Matthew. Let's look at that together. Jesus said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And it fell. And great was its fall. Storms test our foundations. Has anybody here been camping? You can put your hand up. I have. Who's been camping in a storm? Yeah. It's pretty scary, right? And if our pegs don't go down deep enough, or we've not put the tent up correctly, we've done both of those things, and all of a sudden the tent is flailing under the atmospheric pressure, and you're being exposed to the elements in full force. Yes. What do you do? Well, here's what I would like to propose that we do. Number one, identify the storm. Is it a correcting storm? Is it a protecting storm? Is it a perfecting storm? Number two, secure your foundations. And how do we do that? Well, I'm sorry, it's the same old, by reading this. But I'd also like to promote this little book. If no one has been through this, I strongly urge you to buy one from the Connect Corner. It will secure you in your biblical foundations, lovingly called the Purple Book. Number three, focus on the eye of the storm. And if you didn't know this, the eye of the storm is the region of calm weather right in the middle of the storm. That eye, but right in the middle. In John 16, we read that Jesus had just told his disciples that everything they've known in their time with him is going to change. It's all going to change, guys. We've had a great time, but all going to change. You're going to be scattered. And I'm going to be left alone with the Father. He was about to be arrested and crucified. And they must have been feeling confused, anxious, abandoned. But he knew that. So he reassures them with this from John 16. I have told you all this, so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Jesus is the eye of the storm. Can I ask the band to come up, please? Jesus is the eye of the storm. I know there are many of you who are facing storms right now. If not, you will soon enough. Jesus told us we would. So identify the storm, secure your foundations, and focus on Jesus. He is your peace in the storm. I can't tell you the amount of times that I've felt God say, don't look at that, don't look at that. You look at me, look at me, look at me. Okay, look at me. Don't look at that. Look at me. The good news about storms is they have a beginning, a middle, and an end. But God is watching how we journey through the storm. Are we responding like Jonah, or like Noah, or like Peter? Maybe your storm has been raging for a while, and you think, this is just never going to end. But be encouraged. You may be coming to the end of it. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Keep your eye on Jesus. He is the eye of the storm. Hope can be described as holding on with patient expectation. Holding on with patient expectation. And I've listed some scriptures there, and this is not even scratching the surface of words of encouragement that you can get for yourself from here. It's all there. You have to go looking for it. So if you've got a phone, you want to take a picture of those ones that could get you started. And this is what we do. We then list them down and we put them on the wall and we claim the promises of God and we walk through our storm with Jesus, who is the eye of the storm. Are you getting this? I know for some of you it's like, well, I know that, I know that. When you're tested to the limit, that's why we have to keep layering this in. It's knowing what to do when life seemingly falls apart. Memorize the scriptures. Meditate on them. Holding on with patient expectation. Remember Psalm 46. We'll just conclude with this. In verses 10 to 11, it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Can I ask you to stand, please? So we just bring this to an end now. Are you in a storm right now? We're going to pray together. But before we do, we're going to come to God in faith, declaring who He is and who we are in Christ. So I'd like us all to just lift our hands to the Lord, because even if you're not in a storm right now, you most likely will encounter one ahead. And we're going to declare this together in faith. You could put that slide up, that'd be great. Putting our storm into the hands of the one who is the Lord of the storm, right? And God, who is faithful, will work on our behalf. So we're going to recite this together in faith. And I'll count to three. One, two, three. Lord, you are my provider, my comforter, my protector, my source of strength, my hope. You are the King of glory. You are the author of time. You are the creator of life. You are good You are dependable. You are kind, patient and kind. You are restorative. You are the Lord who sees. You are the God who heals. Lord, I am your servant. I am your child. I am saved, healed, delivered by you. I am the righteousness of Christ. I am chosen, royal, and holy because of you. I am blessed. I am your special treasure, and I belong to you. Lord, I commit this storm and any future storms to your providential care. You are the Lord of the storm. I choose to secure my foundations in you and choose to believe in faith that you will help me as I put my trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. To know more about Every Nation Auckland City, you can visit our website at www.everynationauckland.city. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.